Welcome again to our studies on the books of the Bible, entitled Know Your Bible. And this is a purpose that you will know your Bible. It's after all God's Word, and we want every one of you to have a good grasp and understanding of this marvelous book. Well, we're coming now to Paul's epistle to Titus in the New Testament. And a little background is helpful here so that we can appreciate this letter to Titus. Titus was one of the young men in the entourage of the Apostle Paul as he traveled from town to town. And these young men, like Timothy, they listened to the teachings, the preachings of this great apostle of the Lord. They saw the miracles that were wrought by the laying on of his hands. And as they matured themselves, Paul, who moved on after he had established churches in certain cities, left them there to oversee the churches and to comfort them and bring them into maturity. Like Timothy, he was left in the city of Ephesus to become the first bishop there. Well, there's an island off the coast of mainland Greece called Crete. And there was churches established there. And so the Apostle Paul wanted them to grow in the knowledge of God and to be disciplined and understand what it meant to be churches. And so he left Titus, this young man, in charge. And so he's giving him instructions on how he should run the churches under his control. When he starts off by saying, obviously, that you've got to have people in authority. You cannot run anything without authority. And so he's giving him instructions on now how he should appoint elders. And obviously, you know, Crete was filled with churches because Titus was going from city to city in this island. And Paul says the key is to have a strong church to appoint elders. So he is giving him some idea of the type of people who should be left as elders as Titus himself moves from city to city on this island of Crete. And he says they must be blameless. They must be blameless. You know, it's so important that a minister, you know, a pastor, whilst the city might not agree with what he preaches, nonetheless will not be able to put a finger upon him concerning his way of life or his character. They must be blameless. And then they must have faithful children. They must be the husband of one wife who brings up faithful children. Faithful children. You know, if you're not faithful to your wife, well, are you going to be faithful in the church? Certainly not. You know, we have a saying in England, I think it's the same in most countries, that charity begins at home. What you are at home is really what you are. And so here it is, the qualifications. Husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or being unruly. Obviously, if you're going to instruct families in how to bring up children, well, your own children must be faithful, mustn't they? And then he goes on to say this, Again, he uses the word blameless. 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 As a steward of God. Not self-willed or soon angry, nor given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre. No, we must be purged from these things to be a leader in the church. But a love of hospitality, a love of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. What beautiful virtues those are. You know, we've got to be our message. At this moment, something is going through my mind. And it was a testimony of a student, a fellow student, a colleague, in a Bible school. And he told me this. He said he belonged to a certain church in the country of Wales. And in this church, there was an elder who was highly esteemed for a righteous life and what everybody thought was a blameless home life too. Well, this young man backslid, and he went into a tavern. And there he was drinking in the tavern. And it was quite a way, many tens of miles from the church, from his hometown. And to his amazement, into this tavern came this elder with a raucous woman. And the elder saw this young man and pulled this woman out and went away. Some weeks later, that young man, still not back to the Lord, was in another tavern. And there was a repetition of the scene. That elder came in with another woman and was anything but sober. Again saw the young man and hurried out. Well, you know, that young man eventually came back to the Lord. And he returned to that church. But that elder had been unmasked by others, was no longer in the church. No, you have to be blameless to be a leader in the Church of Jesus Christ. But I think these virtues are so beautiful. A lover of hospitality. A lover of good men. You know, who are your companions? You know, a person is known by his friends. Want to know who you are? Look at your friends. Likes go to likes. A lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. You know, self-control, able to control one's being. And do you know the key to perfection? We read of it in the Epistle of James, that a perfect man is one who can control his tongue. And in being able to control his tongue, can control every member of his body. So there, we need to exercise self-control. For in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Well, we move on. And in verse 9, we have to hold fast the faithful word as one has been taught. Again, the qualifications of an elder. Faithfulness. You know, an elder is like a pillar. In the book of Revelation, it says, he that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the church of my God. You see, a pillar is always there. It's unmovable. It holds up the building. And so a spiritual pillar is an elder who holds up the building and is faithful. Faithful to the instructions he has received. And he in turn teaches them to others. But, with almost, you can hear almost a sigh as you read the next verses. As the Apostle Paul says, for there are many, many who are unruly, vain talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision or those who are religious. Religious people have the tendency of being often quite bitter, self-righteous, gainsayers, whose mouths must be stopped. You see, who subvert whole houses. You know, in the Epistle to Corinthians, the Apostle Paul makes this point. None of us live to ourselves. None of us dies to ourselves. And our lives influence other people. Our lives influence other people. For good or for bad. Well, these religious people, you know, who have gone far from the truth, filled with all kinds of bitterness, slanders and the like, well, they're influencing other people. And Paul said, look, their mouths must be stopped because whole houses are turned away from the church. Families are turned away from the church by these people. And they teach things which they ought not to. And the reason is they teach them just to get money. You know, and he's now speaking particularly to the Cretans. And he says, one of those Cretans, a prophet of their own said, the Cretans, well, are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Well, that's not a very nice description of a nation, is it? But you know, sometimes we're placed in the midst of a people who have very ill reputations. You know, fornication, drunkenness and the like. And we are constantly having to address those sins. Well, here, he said they were liars. Reminds you of Voltaire, doesn't it? The French writer. Do you know, Voltaire was such a liar that even his friends went from him. He lied all the time. Well, the morning that he died, here he was tossing and turning on his bed, this inveterate liar. And the blasphemies that were coming out of his mouth were so terrible that the nurse appointed to care for him in his last hours rushed from the room and said, I cannot bear to be in the presence of that man. Well, we may well say the same concerning these Cretans. I mean, look at them. Always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies, meaning very slothful, not hardworking. And these people, they profess to know God. You know, many people profess to know God. You ask them, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I go to church. Well, perhaps once a month or something like that. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. But you know, he goes on to say this, but by their works they deny God. You know, it's awesome, isn't it? You know, if someone loves God, they're filled with good works. I remember an evangelist in England. He was a man of great stature. He was actually quite tall, but he was a great stature, spiritually speaking. And he had an estate, and that estate he used for conventions. Well, I came to one of those conventions, and in front of him, he was inviting us into his house. In front of him, there was a car, and one of his cars, and he said, "You know, I named this car Dorcas." And being a young Christian, I wondered why ever he chose that name. Well, later on, I understood. He said, because Dorcas, a lady, was known for her good works, and this car is filled with good works. Well, wouldn't we like to be called Dorcas? Filled with good works. Filled with good works. But these other people denied the law by the fact that their works were evil. And then he speaks of women. Women, you know, the aged women have a real ministry to the young. Young women need to be instructed in a way that they should live, and they should be modest in their dress. And after all, who but the aged women can tell young women how to dress? I mean, that is a very important factor in life, how you dress. And they're to teach these young women to be sober, to be serious-minded, to love their husbands, and to love their children. You know, I've heard of people, and people I know actually, who have said, "Well, I'm a wife, I love cleaning the house, but I need someone to look after my children." In other words, they loved house cleaning, but they didn't love their children. That's hardly a role of a mother. No, a mother should love their children and to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. You know, so many flit from house to house and never pay attention to their own home. And they are to be good. They are to be obedient to their own husbands. And also, the Word of God. The Word of God, you see, be not blasphemed by the character of these young women who are in church and carry on in such a worldly manner. You know, women notice dress far more than men do. And you see, if you will dress in a manner as becoming a Christian woman, you have an impact on others. But if you dress as the world dresses, nobody is going to take any notice whatsoever of your testimony. In fact, they'll actually criticize and blaspheme God because of your conduct. All right. Now, sound speech. Sound speech. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Think before speaking. Think before speaking. Are these words that I'm going to speak true? Are they just? Are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they life-giving? For out of the mouth flows life and death. Are my words going to produce life? Well, I don't know. Depends if they come from the Lord. You know, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. So the condition of your heart depends the words that flow from your lips. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. And also, you see, showing, you know, Titus was a leader, you see. So Paul said, showing thyself. Titus, showing yourself a pattern of good works. You know, I remember listening when I was a young Christian to the president of a fellowship. And he was a very godly man. And he told this little story. And he was in the habit of, manifesting good works wherever he did. And he said this. A young man came up to him and said this. Oh, pastor, let me do this good work instead of you, that I might be a true follower of you. You see, when people see that we are full of good works, they, if they've got a good heart, will want to follow. And they also will want to become a pattern of good works to their friends. And so this is one of the keys of a leader. You see, and then our teaching is very important. In verse 12, teaching that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, we have to teach and we have to preach, you know, as though there are two paths in life, two manners of life. And truly that is the case. Because, you see, there's a pathway of light. There's a pathway of death. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, the narrow path leadeth to life everlasting. The broad path leadeth to destruction. Well, the narrow path, we have to walk circumspectly. We have to be filled with good works. We have to be sober. We have to be righteous. We have to be godly. And we have to warn people. You know, if you walk carelessly, you're on another path. You're on another path. You're on the broad path that leads to destruction. And so, we have to teach people not just to walk on the narrow path, but to deny the other, to deny lusts, and to deny the like, you see. And then something else that's very important as a Christian. Paul brings it out in Romans 13. He brings it out here in Titus 3 about our attitude to those in authority. To those in authority. You know, he brings out the thought in Romans 13, there's no authority but that it comes from God. All authority comes from God. And Peter brings this thought out too. He said, honor the king. But you know, all the kings of the Roman Empire at that time were homosexuals, wicked men. Nero, you've heard of him. But one has to honor the king. You know, the fifth commandment is to honor thy father and thy mother. It doesn't say the good fathers, the good mothers. No, we are to honor our father and mother. We are to honor all those in authority. But it doesn't mean that we should be like them. But we have to honor them as being God appointed. And therefore, you see, in so doing, that we will put to shame those that accuse us. Well, this little epistle is very wonderful. But, you know, Paul has a tendency of repeating himself. And when he repeats himself, it is that is one of the main things that he wants to emphasize to those reading the epistle and to whom the epistle is sent. Well, what does he keep emphasizing? Well, it comes out in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Maintain good works. He's already said to him, be a pattern of good works. But now, towards the end, he's coming back to emphasize this salient truth that is so important in a leader. Maintain good works. And then, not content with that, in verse 14, which is last but one, verse, he said, and let ours also learn to maintain good works. Good works. Good works. All right? Good works. That everything we do is good. And the reason is that we be not unfruitful. Not unfruitful. Some people's works go before them, some follow them. And you go to heaven, what do you want to follow you? The good works that you have done, the blessings that you have blessed others with. What joy you will have in heaven. And so I want to leave this thought with you. From Titus, maintain good works, be a pattern of good works, and oh, your joy in eternity will be great. God bless you.